Welcome to A Very Local History, the show where we talk about the history of London area by area.
We're coming to you live. Well, not live. We're coming to you from a room in Camberwell. We are not historians. We're a couple of sneaky Londoners with a passion for London history and all its curiosities.
My name's Louis.
My name's Ollie.
And today we'll be talking about this very fine area that we find ourselves in.
Camberwell.
It's funny you should go in on the name because it's worth starting with it, I suppose.
But I actually want to start before the name, if you don't mind. I'm gonna throw a category at you.
All right, go on.
So the category of you may know it from ... So Camberwell.
Yeah.
You may know it from, what would you say? Not a good start for ye who lives not far from Camberwell.
Yeah, but
okay, let me take the lead on this.
Yeah.
Camberwell, you may know it from. So these days, Camberwell is considered pretty arty. And the reason for that is, or one of the reasons for that, or two of the reasons for that, are that it is the home of the world famous Camberwell College of Art. Art. Singular, which is now part of UAL.
Yeah, that's the one.
And that sits next
stands
to...
for University of Arts London.
Thank you. And that sits next to SLG, which stands for the South London Gallery. And that sits in a very beautiful Victorian building on the Peckham Road. And it was established in 1898, I think.
Yes, very fine indeed. Sort of red brick and chimneys and so on.
Chimneys. Camberwell. You may know it also from the Camberwell Beauty. Do you know what the Camberwell Beauty is?
This one I know. That is a butterfly.
Correct. It's a rare butterfly that was first recorded. A first recorded sighting of said butterfly occurred in Camberwell in 1748.
And it's distinctive, isn't it? Black with sort of purple spots and things like that.
And a bit of yellow around the outside.
Oh, we've all seen the murals.
We have. And so if you find yourself walking around Camberwell and seeing murals and drawings and paintings of butterflies, this is why.
It's, yeah.
I thought I saw one the other day. Turns out I was fairly reliably informed that it was in fact just a red admiral.
Yeah.
Of which there are now loads.
Common. Yeah, they're pretty common, I think.
Because they've had a population boom because of the hot weather. But the less said about that, the better.
As have all insects and creepy crawlies. Anyway, we're getting a
and I have a final you may know it from.
Okay. I think I might know what this one is. Is this one from a film?
Correct.
Yeah! I know.
You most likely know the word Camberwell.
This is also my quote, so maybe don't do this.
This is also my quote. And I think it's only fair. Should we save,
we should save it for the quote section?
So you
otherwise, we have no quotes.
You may know Camberwell from a film called With Nell and I. What? It's not the quote. I'm not going to do the quote. Right, Louis's right. Looking at me like I've just shat on his chips.
You ruined the whole demo.
Ruined everything.
And we've hardly even begun.
But you may well know Camberwell from a quote from a famous film, which perhaps we shall touch upon later.
Yes.
But it might involve vegetables of some sort.
In the otherwise quiet quote section.
Yes. It's such a good quote that we only need one.
Yeah. It is iconic. Anyway.
Okay then. So now, please, Louis, over to you. Camberwell, what's in a name?
The name Camberwell, like all names in this city, originates long ago. But also, like most names of in the city, there are loads of theories and much...
It's debated over.
Yeah, much conjecture about what the origin of the name is. There is first record of it in the Domesday Book, another common trope.
In what format does Camberwell appear?
So Camberwell appears as Camberwell.
Can I do it?
Yeah.
Because it looks satisfying to say.
Yeah, go on.
Camberwell.
You've outdone me. It's a Saxon name, I think we have to assume. Back then, obviously those little endings, things like well, that'll have a meaning. Camber probably also has a meaning. Reliably, with some consistency, the assumption is that well means well.
No way.
I know. Is despite the spelling, it just means a well.
Okay, cool.
And that's consistent across all of the different names.
Okay, so what we're splitting hairs over is camber.
Camber, yeah.
Right.
So there was a well here, but
I think there were multiple wells, weren't there?
But they definitely argued over like which the well was.
Yes, I think so. I think I know which well was the camber well.
Where would you have placed that?
Well, do we want to get onto that, or do we want to go through the other etymologies?
So camber could mean one of two things if you're talking about Old English. It could mean an Old English word or name for Celts or Britons, which were the original pre-Roman inhabitants of...
Stone Age?
Actually, it's Iron Age.
Iron Age?
Yes, that's correct. Earlier than the Romans, when they came, who was here already? Basically, Britons or Celts, interchangeable term. The real deal, the OGs. Mm-hmm. And camber is a word that could have meant that. So if you're talking about that, then it's the well of Celts or of Britons.
Right.
Suggesting that back then it was considered an area where a lot of these people still lived, mm-hmm, when it was named.
When South London was just sort of marshland.
Yeah.
Sludgy, populated by Celts.
Yeah.
There is another theory of the origin of the word camber or cambrai or any of the formats. And it relates to one of my favorite theories about the founding of London, which is that London is in fact a new Troy founded by Prince Brutus of Troy. Talk to me about this theory.
I don't like to, but
well, you shall, because we're giving every option a fair chance here.
All right, fine. There's a sort of Middle Ages pseudo history published by a chap. Don't roll your eyes. Published by a chap called Geoffrey of Monmouth, who was historian.
Louis doing quote fingers for those of you not watching on our webcam. He was a historian. He was a historian who liked a bit of embellishment.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, who enjoyed what at the time I think were considered, you know, pretty solid theories.
Gospel, in fact.
But you know, they also burnt witches and so he posited a theory that Troy, when the breakup of that fair ancient city happened, you know the story, you know, like Brad Pitt and that, mm-hmm, the former royal family of Troy were dispersed, and one or some, actually no, just one, made their way to what I think back then would have been known as Albion.
Albion, yes.
If people had a name for it.
And I believe it was populated by giants.
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
Just because I'm so pleased that we're getting into that too. And Brutus was his name, the chap, the Trojan.
Brutus was his name.
Yes, the royal Trojan who made his way to Albion or Britain. And he founded, the theory goes, a city on the Thames. That was New Troy?
New Troy.
Or maybe they called it at the time, but obviously now known as London.
Mm-hmm.
So
where does camber come into it?
So camber was apparently one of his sons.
Yes.
And so Prince camber maybe had a well
in South London.
In South London.
He was a South Londoner. Yeah. He chose South London.
Yeah.
And he established a well.
Yeah. Chose it because of the well. Maybe that was what made it a good area.
Indeed. Or it could have been that the well was dedicated to him in memory.
So there's that one. Or most likely of all the theories, I'm glad we've done it this way around, is that the word camber is an old English term, potentially Saxon, potentially later, for cripple or crooked. Which would have related to the fact that because there were wells in this area, and historically wells or upsprings of water were considered sacred because they are, you know, life-giving, etc., and therefore would have been visited by the sick and the ill and the lame, and they would have come to visit the springs, and they would have sought healing. And so Camber Well or Cripple Well.
I can see why that theory is the most likely, because it, as with so many places in London, the original theory behind its name kind of carries through for generation after generation after generation. And even in the Victorian period, Camberwell is still known, and we'll get to this later, as a place that houses the sick and needy.
Yeah.
So perhaps there is something in that name.
Yeah.
I just want to touch on the location of the well. Camberwell tradition has it that the original well was in Grove Park, which is just off Camberwell Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a lovely array of streets with,
very lovely,
frankly, fat houses on them now.
Yes.
And there is a photo of the well, which is thought to have been taken in 1892, shortly before it was demolished. In that, Camberwell as a word is split into two separate words. Camber Well, as it happens.
And that, of course, is very close by to the present day Crooked Well pub.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
Crooked Well, I didn't even think about that.
Shut up, you didn't think about that.
No, I didn't.
Did you not?
No.
You just made that link.
Yeah, I'm afraid I did.
We've been talking about this for like 3 years, mate.
It's good that our minds can still be blown.
No, you're right. That's nice. That's nice. That's a nice moment. Okay, so that's Campbell's name.
Let's move on.
Ad infinitum.
Let's move on to a layman's history of Camberwell. Louis, take us away.
Yeah, so we've already talked a bit about its sort of ancient or potential old origins and the reason why people might have been here, the reason why inhabitants might have started basing themselves here. It was, you know, there was a well, and once upon a time, that was a big deal. subsequently, there was a church established here, which obviously historic unit of both community and space. St. Giles Church, so named after the patron saint of the crippled and the lame.
Ah.
Yeah, that's what St. Giles
is. It's all coming together.
Isn't it? So St. Giles Church, which sits on the Peckham Road as well, the artery between Camberwell and Peckham. That church, very, very beautiful old church, was founded, and the parish was established, and all the land surrounding would have been owned by the church, would have administered, you know, the whole area.
And the land surrounding at that time is, we're talking fields, we're talking agricultural lands, we're talking...
Less.
Yeah, right. Maybe woodland.
I mean, yeah. It depends how far back. But apparently in the Domesday Book, it was recorded as having one church, eight ploughs, 63 acres of meadow, and woodland worth 60 hogs.
No way.
Because apparently they measured woodland's space in pigs.
In pigs.
Yeah. I guess they must have been territorial.
We're going to have to do a whole episode on that.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
How to measure your woodland with pigs.
With pigs. So that was the historic parish of St. Giles. And yeah, it was basically farm countryside at a time where London wasn't so far away, but I suppose travelling there would have taken a little while. It then later was a hunting ground for King Charles, which takes us...
Which one?
Charles I. You know, the one that got his head lopped off.
Mm.
It was a hunting ground. He established it as a hunting ground. I suppose it would have been a nice ride out from London. Oh, and just to jump back... we mustn't forget about the Camberwell Fair.
Fair.
Or fair, depending how you like to spell. Which was founded in 1279. So going quite a way back.
That is a long-running
Knees Up.
Well, yeah.
When did it finish?
It ran all the way until 1855, but went through quite a journey from being in the 13th century, a much more sort of classic like market get together where people would have bought their hogs and such.
Produce, trading.
To sell, mm-hmm. yeah, get together. And then slowly but surely over the years, it was a summer fair, slowly but surely over the years, things were added on and, you know, the party got bigger. And until...
So it snowballed into a sort of carnival.
Yeah, a much bigger to-do.
It was considered a real nuisance by locals.
Yeah.
A bit like how posh people living in Notting Hill consider the Notting Hill Carnival a nuisance. You know, it was board up your houses time.
Yeah.
And there is a painting of Camberwell Fair, which honestly looks like... just sort of Glastonbury, but in bonnets. because, you know, there's these sort of food stalls in the background and then people in various states of disarray, puking, you know, canes everywhere, top hats just discarded with holes in them. People just out of their heads.
Having a large one.
And when it was eventually abolished, there was much rejoicing by the locals.
By the locals? Not by everyone, I'm sure.
No.
So Camberwell Fair, we're in the Georgian period and then into the Victorian period. And as we move into the Victorian period, we move into, well, a lot more clear history. So that's nice. Camberwell, and this is where Ollie was talking about how, you know, the historic associations of an area might start to sort of define its modern incarnations. And a hospital and an asylum existed here.
So I've got some info on the asylum.
Awesome. You can, the asylum, the buildings of which can still be seen, or some of them, today, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, indeed. Camberwell House Lunatic Asylum opened...
You can't say that anymore.
Camberwell House Asylum opened in a row of three elegant Georgian houses on the north side of the Peckham Road, which is close to the junction with Havel Street. And they opened in January 1846. So the asylum grew and grew, and as a result took over buildings surrounding its original three Georgian houses. And it went into neighbouring spaces, and by the mid-1880s, there was a run of terrace houses on the south side of Peckham Road, which can still be seen today, right next to Southwark Town Hall.
That run?
That run of very beautiful houses.
Amazing.
With the sort of... gardens in front, between it and the Peckham Road.
It's the registry office, right?
The registry office and the houses next to
it. Yeah, yeah. Very, very, very pretty classic Georgian.
And so just a little bit more about the asylum, because, you know, it's very much, it's buildings that you can very much still see and feel. But in 1919, the asylum was known simply as Camberwell House. And sports were encouraged, and the facilities for the patients included tennis courts and a putting green. The recreation hall contained a badminton court. There was also a chapel.
Bloody hell.
Yeah. And as treatments became available for mental patients, Camberwell House offered prolonged immersion baths and action therapy and shock treatment.
When was this?
Modified insulin treatment. This is in the early 1900s.
Oh, wow. Yeah, well, you can tell based on the treatments. And while we're in the area, it bears noting that there was quite a significant workhouse in Camberwell.
Yeah, back on Havel Street.
Yes, on the area, on that drag, there was a workhouse from the 18th century, so in the 1700s, which...
Sorry, what was a workhouse?
So a workhouse was an institution founded by... I'm not going to say anything to do with the government, I'm not sure. Basically, it was somewhere...
A social institution.
A social institution where poor people, or people who couldn't support themselves financially, would be sent.
And go and work and live.
And this is why I think it is does have crossover with, you know, government. But you would be sent there if you couldn't support yourself. And it would provide lodgings for you, and it would also provide work for you. But we're talking...
Pretty miserable lodgings and pretty miserable work.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, ending up in the workhouse was not somewhere you wanted to be. So in that area around Havel Street, we have a bit of a sort of district growing up of the workhouse and then also the asylum moving into the 19th century. And there's actually a very distinctive building on Havel Street that you can still see today.
The circular tower.
The circular tower, yes.
So that was part of the workhouse.
That was an infirmary wing. It's now apartments, but once upon a time was a four-story infirmary wing which had 24 beds to a floor.
It's like now the old Camberwell House Asylum is student accommodation for UAL.
There you go. Yeah, it's all res now.
And you can still see the perimeter of the workhouse, is that right?
So the walls on Havel Street and then bending round onto the Peckham Road, there's quite a distinctive style.
Red brick. Red brick. Kind of.
With iron work into them.
And they're sort of like the opposite of anti-arched. An inverted arch.
Yeah, what would that be?
A dip.
And those are the remaining perimeter walls of the old workhouse infirmary.
And was the asylum and the workhouse connected? Do we know?
We don't know.
But it's safe to assume that there was a back and forth between them.
It was safe to say that you might have seen some exchange between those two institutions.
A pretty common trope of living conditions in Victorian London. You often went from the workhouse to
the asylum
and back again.
Or was it the other way around?
Yeah. Such was the life of poverty-stricken Londoners.
Because it was quite a, like, it wasn't a working class area. In the Georgian period, I think it was quite an affluent area.
Yeah, I mean, Camberwell Grove is a testament to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Grove Lane being basically the stables off the back of the big houses.
Right. And the houses at the top of that are just insane. Mm. Some of them are still single occupancy.
Some of them, if you're lucky.
They are mental, those ones at the top. But yeah, very affluent area in the 18th century. But then, with the arrival of the railways, or transport, maybe not the railways, no, maybe railways. With the arrival of transport came a boom in more, you know, middle to working class people living here and commuting to London.
But I think the asylum is not necessarily a...
I'm not saying it's a direct link.
No, I'm not saying it's not a product of that. I think the asylum is actually sort of harks back to what we were talking about at the beginning of Camberwell's sort of original, the original kind of destination for well-being.
Yeah.
And it would presumably back then have been a sort of lovely out of town with these sort of gaff with huge grounds with you know, everything I described.
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, mentally unwell people were sent to try and recuperate, to take the country air, because presumably it wasn't considered central London.
Yeah. So that takes us up to the sort of Victorian era. I think it bears mentioning as well, it was quite a... industry came to this area. You had some notable companies were based here. R. White's. Ever heard of R. White's?
The lemonade.
Yes. Although, no, when you read about it, they talk about it being the R. White's ginger beer factory.
Really?
So I wonder if maybe it was originally ginger beer, because ginger beer was quite a known tipple on the streets of London. You actually like would get hawkers, street hawkers, selling ginger beer from carts. And I think it was much more common than lemonade, obviously.
I've recently got back into ginger beer.
Oh, ginger beer, mate, so much better than... actually, I really like lemonade. But ginger beer is an elite.
There's a time and a place for it all, but a ginger beer is a lovely, refreshing drink.
And if you mix it with whiskey and lime, whew.
We're going to take a break right there.
So R. White's, famous, you know, British brand. They were based here. They had a warehouse here in the old Surrey...
Canal Plus.
Canal, yeah. Or an area around there, which was another function of the Victorian period, because if you moved slightly north of Camberwell Green and into an area now occupied by a park, Burgess Park, you would have found yourselves in a canal.
This is a lovely segue into the park section of the podcast.
Yeah.
Talk to us. Let's start with Burgess Park. Let's talk about Burgess Park.
That's it's the biggest one, so that seems appropriate.
And it's a very new park.
Yeah, it's really new. It's actually one of the newest parks in London. I think that's
yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, I read somewhere that it was created to be a green lung for London.
It was established in the 1970s, so yeah, that's pretty recent as parks go. Most of the parks that we know and enjoy and think of today are from the Victorian period. If you're in the suburbs, if you go in, you know, maybe the Georgian or maybe even earlier, but a 70s park, young whippersnapper.
The reason that Burgess Park exists is due to the demise of a great industry.
Yes.
The docks and the canal system.
Yeah. Interconnected as they were.
We should say off the bat, so everyone understands, that before Burgess Park was Burgess Park, it was that area was residential surrounding a large canal called the Grand Surrey Canal, which connected
to the Grand Surrey Docks, which were in Rotherhithe. Burgess Park occupied an area of quite densely populated housing and also canals, because obviously there would have been people living around there because industry used to live a stone's throw away from where you worked. That was heavily bombed in the war, like so much of the East End and the Docklands area. In the 1970s, after a lot of it having been sat in a fair state of disrepair, they cleared a large amount of that, filled in the canal, because the canal itself closed, because no more did they require its services.
Right, I was going to ask that, but
yeah, they closed the Surrey Docks. So they closed the Surrey. This was the sort of decline of the Docklands.
Yeah.
The docks. It's a bigger story.
We'll talk about it when we get to Canary Wharf.
Yeah. But shipping changed. Docks didn't work anymore. We didn't have the traffic, so they had to close them because they just weren't functioning in the same way anymore. And so with that, a very, very developed canal system got shut down too. And so Burgess Park was the beneficiary. So Burgess Park was made off the back of docks and canals closing, and it now takes up an area approximately 140 acres.
Yeah, it's big, Burgess Park.
It's massive.
It's sort of deceptively big because I guess it's split into two. And what I like about it is that the remnants of the canal, it's that pathway that runs directly through the park from east to west, west to east, is the canal.
Yeah, they just filled it with concrete.
And alongside it, you'll see the remains of two lime kilns. And the kilns were used to heat limestone to convert it into quicklime, which you needed to make cement. And then presumably they were loaded onto a barge and distributed around the canal network around London.
Uh-huh.
And the kilns are still there.
And they're listed, I think, as well.
I would imagine so. People like to do yoga underneath them now.
How very 2023.
And take drugs. What? I'm just telling it how it is.
Didn't you say that the piles of earth are debris from the Blitz? Is that a thing?
Did I?
Yeah, you did.
When?
One time.
Once upon a time.
Maybe. I could believe it. Or maybe, you know, they're hills now, but they've grown over.
But they're certainly man-made hills.
Yeah. There's a BMX park there now.
There's a, and it's supposed to be a very,
Kai White trained there, the Olympian, BMX silver Olympian.
Whilst we're on Burgess Park, because we're right there.
Yeah.
I wanted to just say a few words on Addington Square.
Oh yeah, beautiful.
Addington Square, which is the gorgeous Georgian, or it's actually kind of a mishmash, square, which is on the south side of Burgess Park. It's right by the tennis courts. There's a little tennis cafe there now. And it's a conservation area, and it's thick with history. And the engineer for the Grand Surrey Canal Company lived in the very first house that was built on Addington Square, which is now number 48. But what I actually want to talk about in Addington Square was in the 1960s. Do you know what I'm going to talk about here, Louis?
Is it something to do with a wild animal?
A little bit. The square, Addington Square, was home to the Richardson family or gang,
who were
the sort of South London version of the Krays. They were rivals to the Kray twins, and they ran basically a private drinking club from the square, in which Mad Frankie Fraser had two dancing bears, they say.
This was in the 60s.
In residence, yeah.
Jesus.
And according to the gang's Old Bailey trial in 67, the club was used to kangaroo court and torture rivals.
Fun.
Camberwell legend has it that at one point, the two dancing bears managed to escape Frankie Fraser's grasp and ran down the Camberwell New Road. And people were almost spilt their pints. They were so shocked.
Almost.
Very almost.
to many it was.
But I love the idea of a couple of dancing bears running down Camberwell New Road.
It's a surprise there's not a pub called that, isn't there?
The couple of dancing bears.
Or just the dancing bear.
Mm.
There's the bear.
There's the bear. We'll come to pubs.
Yeah.
So that was my little sojourn into Addington Square, which I'm a big fan of.
Yeah, very beautiful square adjacent to Burgess Park.
If you're in Camberwell, check it out. Tell us about Ruskin Park.
So Ruskin Park is a other, probably second largest park in Camberwell.
Probably. We don't know.
It's definitely the second.
As we said, we're not historians. Don't expect anything from us.
It's an Edwardian era park, so early 20th century. It's named after John Ruskin, famous poet, writer, champion of the arts and crafts movement, who lived nearby, and it sits above the hospital. And you get a great view of the hospital, but you also get, if you go up the hill, a really lovely view of the city. One of the best in all of London.
Mm. Yeah, there's a couple of benches up there. You get prime panorama.
Yeah. So that's Ruskin. It's got a bandstand. It's got a garden.
I've got a little thing.
Huh?
Connected to Ruskin, very close to Ruskin is, and I know this should technically wait for the pub section, however... Yeah. Connected to Ruskin is the Fox on the Hill pub. Legend has it that the Fox on the Hill is built atop of a plague pit, which is rather morbid. And yeah. If you have any question as to what a plague pit is, the clue is in the name.
Yeah. The question is it so elevated because of the pit, or is it just there's a pit under it? I don't think
they built a hill out of plague victims. Sorry. Otherwise, next time you walk around Ruskin Park, have a little think about that.
Yeah, next time you're sinking a pint of Stella in the spoons on the hill.
Yeah. Where you can only queue at one bar, even though they have like seven bars in there.
Not going to make the list of top pubs. I think we can.
Well, top view. It gets an honourable mention in this section, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Touching on a couple of other parks in Camberwell, we've got the very parochial and beautiful Brunswick Park, which was sort of part of the asylum grounds at one point before in the Victorian era it was turned into an actual park. Lovely park. Yeah. What else? Anything else you want to hit up?
Myatt's Fields. Can't forget Myatt's Fields.
I mean, Camberwell is just chock full of beautiful little parks.
Yeah. Myatt's Fields, get this, I discovered, and I can believe it, was voted by the Green Flag, those arbiters of national taste, as the 9th best park in the UK.
9th, ladies and gentlemen.
In the whole of the UK. That's mental.
Yeah.
And I can believe it. It is a curious... It's perfect. It's small and perfectly formed, Myatt's Fields. It's got a really rich history. It was established or built by some like Viscount or something like way back, because it was built on his land and he like donated the land to the local whatever and I guess did a really freaking good job. And all the beautiful buildings around it, you know, there's a big... old like stately tall red brick stuff that
yeah
is now,
it looks like there's a school there as well.
Yeah, they're flats. I think they're all flats now. But once upon a time these were all part of what was a rich person's benevolent development of that small area.
So Myattsfields is a donation from a rich person.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's got a beautiful bandstand, a beautiful summer house, and it's also like positive as well, isn't it? They've got like the rewilded bit, and there's the bees, and it's even got a five-a-side pitch.
It's got a five-a-side pitch which is now called the Jadon Sancho pitch.
Because he's local boy, isn't he?
Notable Camberwell resident, but we're jumping the gun. But,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. Myattsfields is top Camberwell Park.
I think the Jadon Sancho reference moves us quite beautifully on to notable Camberwell residents. Jadon Sancho is a footballer for England. And who else have we got in Camberwell? I mean, obviously, we've mentioned John Ruskin.
There's a few football players. Tammy Abraham, he's one. But we mustn't languish in footballers. Musician Florence Welch lives from Camberwell, famously.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't say where she lives, but she lives in a very nice house.
Yeah, and she bigs up Camberwell a lot, doesn't she?
She does indeed.
She talks about it a lot.
She's a good Camberwellian.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The well's probably in her backyard, let's be honest.
Yeah. Another notable resident that I turned up in my research, was a woman called Una Marson.
Tell me about her.
Who was a very early black feminist journalist, activist, the first black woman to have a radio show on the BBC.
Wow, so are we talking 50s?
Pre-war.
Pre-war?
Yes, mate. She moved here from Jamaica, I think, in the early 1930s. And having had a background in writing drama, and she ended up getting on to the radio and presenting a show on the BBC called like Newspaper from the West Indies, or the Voices from the West Indies, and I guess speaking to and for a, at the time, very marginalized community. And then went back to Jamaica, then came back to London, went back and forth quite a lot. And then after the war, there's very little evidence of her life, which is really interesting. Suddenly, she just kind of went a bit off grid and died in the 1960s, I think. But was a real notable figure who has been, I think, probably a little bit sort of forgotten and overlooked subsequently, but has a blue plaque.
Where is her blue plaque?
It's on Brunswick Park. It's in one of the 16 Brunswick Park.
Okay.
Because I guess she came and lived in Camberwell.
While we're on the blue plaque attack,
mm-hmm.
One of my favourites, which we might... It's a tricky one because I had to look up whether this was in Brixton or Camberwell.
Mm-hmm.
And it was on the border. But I think it just about falls within Camberwell, according to the ever-reliable Google Maps.
Okay, yeah, the borders are kind of disputed, aren't they, if you try to keep...
It's true. And at 56 Ackman Road, which is near Myattsfields, you will find the blue plaque for Dan Leno, who was a huge music hall comedian and musical theatre actor in the Victorian era. He was the celebrity of his day.
Wow.
And he was best known aside from his music hall act for his dame roles. So he's sort of one of the original drag queens.
Widow Twankey.
Yes. And from 1888 until his death, Leno was the star of Drury Lane's annual Christmas pantomime every year and played sellout crowds. And he was much beloved of the British public and then toured the country as well. And he lived in Camberwell for a spell.
Wow. So literally Widow Twankey.
If you want to reduce him to that, then sure. But
he did Panto.
The Dan Leno sort of federation will be at you.
They'll be at my door. They'll be on my ex profile.
Ida Lupino was also a notable Camberwell resident. She was a huge British Hollywood star in the 50s.
I saw her picture. She did look like a huge Hollywood star in the 50s. She's such a look.
She's glammed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got it all.
The curls and the red lip. It's a whole thing.
It's a look.
The smoky eyes.
It's a look.
Yeah, I saw that one as well.
Moving on to Camberwell in culture populaire.
Yeah.
Got anything for me?
Florence Welch. With Nell and I?
So, yes, indeed, with Nell and I, which we're saving for the quotes, but we're saving it for the quotes.
We'll save it.
The one thing that I turned up was that in 2008, Addington Square, to go back to the square that I love, was used as a location for Goldfrapp's music video for their single Happiness.
Was it?
Which features on their fourth studio album. And it focuses on a young guy in a white suit who's joyfully jumping up and down the streets in Addington Square.
That's nice. Ooh, Basement Jacks have recorded multiple songs with Camberwell in the name. Three of them, in fact.
Really?
Yeah. They seem to like Camberwell. I don't think they're from here, but they have recorded multiple tracks with Camberwell.
Okay. I mean, I'm not sure if this is popular culture, but it's now gone, but Rat Records was a beloved fixture of Camberwell.
It's culture, if not popular culture.
I think it was niche culture. I think that was the problem. Yeah. I mean, but it was hugely well-loved. And a proper gem of a vinyl store.
Yeah. And there's a new vinyl store there now.
It ain't Rat Records, though, is it? It is opposite the old dispensary pub. Anything you want to say about the old dispensary pub?
A rather sort of moody, low-slung boozer on the Camberwell New Road just before you get to the junction. And it looks quite sort of, like I said, a little moody, low-slung sort of vibe, low roof. And, you know, you almost feel like you have to rub the windows in order to see inside. So the old dispensary was once an actual medical dispensary, which is, I guess, like a sort of old school pharmacy. It was set up as a help and aid to the poor of the area.
Given that in times gone by,
we didn't have an NHS.
But I was going to say, quite often the cure for many things was a couple of shots of whiskey. Some things never change. And the old dispensary still dispenses what they used to dispense.
They're still hawking the good stuff. Yeah. It's a good little place. We very rarely go in, but I'd like to go in more.
We shall.
It's just so dark in there.
It's so dark.
It's so dark.
A tonic from the bright outside lights when you're trying to drink during the day.
Yeah. but yeah, like a historic spot. And it's the same building. That's nice, isn't it? You know, you see pictures of it as an old dispensary.
Indeed.
But yeah.
So we're talking about pubs. Let's talk about pubs.
Yeah, it makes sense. Good segue. What's your favourite?
So full disclosure, dear listeners, we are local to this area, so we know the pubs rather well. So we might as well go personal on this.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, I've got a list of the pubs.
The longest section of the show.
Yeah,
the pubs.
Go on then. What's your favourite?
Oh, don't ask me that.
I know it's hard. You say it depends on the time of day, my mood.
This is why pubs and bars are the most beautiful thing in the world, is because there's a pub for all seasons. But, you know, on a summer's day, sitting outside the Crooked Well at the bottom of Grove Lane is a lovely place to be. But in terms of proper pubs, I would say probably the Joiners is my favourite pub in Camberwell.
The Joiners?
The Joiners.
That's your fave? It's a great pub.
It's a great pub. It's full of character. It's in a lovely building. It's got an outside section. It's got friendly bar staff. Sam, if you're listening, big up.
It's a few more.
And it's got a very large screen for sport.
It does.
And
one of the only ones in the area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a vibrant vibe.
Yeah, it's a warm place. They do a decent pizza. And yeah, it's very authentic, the Joiners. I'll give it that. Feels quite, I don't know, in a way that I guess none of the other ones do. Quite a real spot. I probably go Crooked Well.
Okay.
I just like the offering behind the bar. I like the outside.
I like the building.
The building's very nice. That upstairs room is goody.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a Negroni. Yeah. The sun's in Camberwell, isn't it?
The son of Camberwell.
Ah, there you go.
It better be.
The clue's in the name. That's a good pub.
It's a great pub.
That's a good pub. But I think summary, Crooked Well with sports pub option of the Joiners.
Let's do a whistle stop tour of food and restaurants. And it's worth saying from the outset that Camberwell is a foodie haven. I mean, walk down Camberwell Church Street at 7 p.m. and it's a veritable, I want to say cacophony, but the smell equivalent of cacophony of...
I like a cacophony of smells.
A cacophony of smells.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Your compound concept.
In a nice way. I know that sounds like it could be minging, but it's amazing. And in those smells, what you're getting is you're getting Silk Road, you're getting falafel and shawarma competing with its neighbour, My Falafel, which I actually kind of prefer, to be perfectly honest. But
they might be listening.
I'm going to get savaged by the Camberwell diehards. You've got more recent... Oh, you've got FM Mangal bringing out that sort of Turkish barbecued
the
meat.
The Akbasi ovens.
And then you've got newer additions like...
Nandine, the Kurdish place.
And Forza.
Forza with the pasta.
And while we're on Church Street, we should mention Stormbird and the Hermit's Cave, owned by the same people opposite one another. Stormbird, if you're looking for beer in Camberwell,
yeah,
is the best beer you'll find in Camberwell.
Yeah, R.I.P. the pigeon.
R.I.P. the pigeon. If you know, you know.
And the Camberwell Arms. Pub turned legit restaurant.
We've saved... The best till last. We've saved the sort of most iconic till last.
Yeah, because all of those restaurants we've just said are banging. Like banging. I would go to any of those.
But what do you really mean?
I would go to any of those over most restaurants in London.
Because they're so close to your house and you can roll home.
Hey, there's a big hill in between. But they're really, it's such a phenomenal scene. But yeah, probably top pick is the Camberwell Arms.
Camberwell Arms ticks almost every box.
Mm.
And just in terms of food and vibe.
Yeah.
It's a winning spot. So we have a few more subjects to hit quite briefly.
Yeah.
And we're going to hit on Louis... a subject really close to my heart, and we'll be doing it in every episode of this show. We'll be asking, does a river run through it?
Yes. Sometimes the answer will be yes, sometimes it will be no.
I reckon there'll be very few places where the answer is no.
I like that theory.
Because there are so many lost rivers of London. So let me tell you about...
I'll leave this one to you, shall I?
Camberwell's lost river. The Earl's Sluice... That's not a joke. So it's actually technically part of the River Peck, which...
Yeah. I haven't heard of that one.
You can work it out. It's a tributary of the River Peck. And okay. It runs from Ruskin Park in Denmark Hill through Camberwell. It turns right at Burgess Park and then crosses the Old Kent Road, where it is joined by the Peck near South Bermondsey Station. It skirts Millwall FC's New Den and then finally... on to the mouth of the stream of the Thames alongside Greenland Dock at Deptford. The Earl's Sluice takes its name from the first Earl of Gloucester, illegitimate son of King Henry I.
Wow.
In the early 12th century.
Gosh.
Who was Lord of the Manor of Camberwell and Peckham.
And on that note, I think it's time we wrapped it up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Quotes?
Yeah, let's leave him with a couple of quotes. The first one we've been holding on to for a while, and a reminder about your other one.
So first I'm going to give you a quote on the Camberwell Fair, which we talked about earlier on, the shubs that took place in Camberwell every year, which was a mashup for those who knew. And this quote is from W.H. Blanche. And he stated that Camberwell Fair was fortunately a thing of the past because for 3 days in August, and I quote, the residents of Camberwell were compelled to witness disgusting and demoralizing scenes which they were powerless to prevent. So,
God, that does sound quite horrifying.
Camberwell Fair really got under people's skin.
Who's this guy? this diarist, this guy who's got an actual quote from God knows when.
He's a bit of a square.
He's not the guy you want to ask about Campbell.
On top of his Camberwell Grove townhouse, sort of looking down on the green, going, I wish I was having that much fun.
Writing with his quill, talking smack.
Just, yeah, exactly.
While everyone on the street is having a right old
and
time.
Living life.
Exactly, in all its richness. The other quote that we have comes from a notable film, a cult classic with Neil and I. Richard E. Grant gets mashed up with his mate for ages.
Couple of unemployed actors, and they come home and they find their drug dealer Danny in their flat. And Danny starts taking out Rizzlers, 12 of them to be precise, and starts creating something. And with Neil asks him, what are you doing? He says, I'm rolling a Camberwell carrot. And Widnell says, well, why is it called that? He says, because I made it in Camberwell and it looks like a carrot. Simple as that.
Simple as.
So thanks for listening to our podcast on Camberwell. Louis, a last word on Camberwell. A word to sum up Camberwell.
Camberwell, a mecca for food and apparently springs.
Okay. I'll say Camberwell is splendid. Thank you for listening. Goodbye now.
Good night.